the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, chapter 13. I have characterized these chapters as more like sumptuous buffet meals than sit-down repasts with menus. Sometimes you will find the wealth of their delicatessen rather bewildering, and you will understand why it takes some thought for me to know what to fill your plate with. But there is one general thought we must keep in mind, lest we think these are just lessons on ethics or morals, and mere practical tips on how to live. They are all that, of course, but they all presuppose a religion, a faith, of which they are the outcome. With Almighty God overarching everything and giving direction and control to the whole of our lives. The thought, therefore, of the everlasting Father should never be far from our minds as we read these verses. His bright shadow should always be glowing in our sky, reminding us of how near he is to faithful souls. Now, the last time we looked at this chapter, on the 13th of January 1980, I tried manfully to make the word righteousness in verse 6 refer to God personally. But it is really the righteousness which man gains from God and puts into practice, which is here, which guards man's integrity. But that is still the Lord's doing, of course, and we are only preserved by our righteousness because we have learned to live by it through him. All things come from him, as well as all things serve him. When we read certain scriptures at the Lord's table, as we shall do in a little, we usually use the Beatitude, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, because they shall be filled." And I have a way of explaining righteousness there as another name for salvation, and salvation is another name for Jesus Christ. So, the wise son in verse 1, and I'll be looking through the verses as we go, the wise son in verse 1 heeds his father's instructions, knowing that they have come to him from his heavenly Father. Therefore, from the fruit of his lips, verses 2 and 3, he enjoys good things, for the desires of the diligent, verse 4, are fully satisfied, and he hates what is false, verse 5. There's no pretense either, verse 7, of being either rich or poor. The man of righteousness has a God who watches over him as he keeps by him, and he never becomes craven like the sluggard in verse 4. He preserves his dignity. He is no beggar. But his dignity arises not because he thinks he is somebody in his own right, but because he belongs to the king. When such a person enters Christian fellowship, however shy he may be and backward at coming forward, he has only to mention who his sponsor is, Jesus Christ. And he has a whole company of brothers and sisters of the same Jesus Christ to welcome him. And his own distinctive righteousness will soon begin to shine and glow among the saints. Verse 9. Nor is there any pride in him, verse 10, because pride only creates barriers between souls.
And anyway, pride goes before a fall, which readily prepares the way for us to stumble and make the worst kind of fools of ourselves. At the same time, each individual soul has his own longings. Verse 12. And there comes a time when hope may grow dim and the heart truly becomes sick with longing and waiting. We read plenty about that longing and patient waiting in the psalmists, don't we? But when at last the Lord rewards faithful waiting before him, even when it has been an agony to wait, the fulfillment of our hope brings us new life. And we reproach ourselves, don't we, for ever having doubted in the dark. Doubt seems so wrong when the Lord has at last answered our plea. And this is because the teaching of the wise as to waiting on the Lord is nothing less than a fountain of life. Verse 14. And it affords that good understanding which wins favor. 15. It soon appears that such a man is living from a rich, hidden store of knowledge of good and evil, verse 16, and has learned how to choose and select in his life. He is therefore to be trusted as an envoy, 17, and it will be healing. He will bring to the needy, because he is in touch with the source of all good. His longings will eventually be fruitful, for he will have learned to long for the right things. Verse 19, the proper things, good and fruit-bearing things, which will bless his soul and will not injure or harm him at all. Whereas a companion of fools suffers harm, says verse 20. But he who walks with the wise learns wisdom. It can be learned, you see. It can be learned. It's a matter of something more than brains and intellect. It can be learned. It can be learned. We sometimes say, when we compare our way of life, despite all its faults, with that of the heedless worldling, what blessings we enjoy, and what peace and joy and happy relationships we have with those who are well disposed to our Lord and to his will and to his ways. True prosperity is indeed the reward of those who seek to do right in his sight. Verse 21. And this can go on from generation to generation. I like the promises in the Old Testament which offer blessing to the third and fourth generation, and even to 1,000 generations, and even to all generations. There is no reason in the world why the blessing of the Lord should not go on from generation to generation. Not like the kings of Israel and Judah, a bad one and a good one almost time about. It shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. We have to look for godliness descending by the generations one after the other. And this is what we have to look for and pray for and expect to that very end. It is a It is a great joy to see one's grandchildren, and even great-grandchildren. Some of us don't have natural children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, but some of us have not only children, but grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and sometimes great-great-grandchildren. And what a joy it is to meet those who are at the end of a line of souls that have influenced one another. Ian Hamilton of New Mills wants 30 copies of the booklet Bringing Up Children in Faith, Not Fear, which we had to tell him is now incorporated into the booklet on baptism. Bringing up children in faith, not fear, you see. So that one has great joy in seeing one's children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren continuing to walk in the light of the same Lord and His Word as has sustained our pilgrimage. Yes. But this is a curious thing in verse 22, that the sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. The sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. Now that's a very thought-provoking consideration. First of all wealth is God. And the ungodly simply filch it from him. And this is simply saying, simply that God retrieves what is his own. Some Christians would not deign to receive the gifts of those they regard, often in ignorance, as poor, unregenerate sinners. You see, they would think that their money was tainted. Some filleted fellowships, if you see what I mean, are so exclusive that the last thing in the world they ever do is to welcome strangers. Angels there would certainly be unrecognized. They would surely be unaware that they were angels because of the poor welcome they would receive. We heard a story of a couple who entered a Christian church, and being complete strangers, although brought by members, they were ignorantly assumed to be not fit for full fellowship with the assembled company, and were kept sitting at the back of the church, were not asked for an offering, nor were they given bread and wine when the elements were being distributed. I was very angry when I knew that this had happened to two of our most devoted, knowledgeable, and experienced members and an elder. And I wanted to write to that assembly abroad and say what a scandal their behavior was to two highly regarded saints. Talk about splitting the church. How ungodly men can become when they push their rigid rules, their man-made rules. Misinterpretations of Scripture, indeed, to such extremes that they violate the law of love. And instead of welcoming a brother and sister from elsewhere, or even inviting a brother to give a word of testimony to the assembled gathering, which assembly, I gather, was in sore need of some outside guidance and help. They were treated almost like spiritual lepers. If you don't belong to our sect, you are not worthy to enter our fellowship. The most we can do for you is to allow you to sit just inside the door, but don't come too near lest you defile us. Thus speaks the elder brother of the prodigal. Who is being defiled? It was our members who were being defiled, who came away from that gathering with a sour taste in their mouths. But back to the second half of verse 22. After all, as we say, the material world belongs to God, and he can easily take from the rich sinner and draw on his resources for the Lord's work. It's all the Lord's anyway. Everything belongs to him, and it is of his own that he gives us, in order that we might give to poor saints in their need and distress. If there is one thing we have learned lately, it is that the Lord uses all sorts of people, even people we might not approve of, to help his cause and advance his gospel. All things serve him. Psalm 119:92. All things serve him. But there is the responsibility to handle our largesse, God's bounty to us, with prudence and discretion. Isn't that so? Verse 23 seems to suggest that a man, for that's his goal for them. But then, the fact that God's perfection is planted in our breasts is assurance enough that we will one day attain his desire. And even if our hearts are literally dung heaps to begin with, since God uses evil to his glory, all things serve him. It is in the dung heap of our fallen humanity that he works his blessed will by planting his seed in the midst of the dung. And it's that seed which eventually is going to make that which is declared right by God made right, perfectly right as Christ is right. One day, isn't that great? But we must proceed toward it. And in a moment, we're going to sing these words. When I found them, yes, I to the end shall endure, as sure as the earnest, the promise from God is given. More happy up there, more happy, but not more secure than we are. If he has declared us right, he's going to stand by that. More happy, but not more secure. It's a great inspiration by Toplady, isn't it? The glorified spirits in heaven. Come on. 703. 703.